Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
I'm going to explain why I played this.
What is this here?
This would be Blueprint 2 off of Blueprint 2. Here we go. H. Don't be afraid, y'all in your articles, hawk, spit at Jay. Y'all from afar through dust my way. What you thought I would not have nothing to say. No. So Saif, so this past week, by the way, welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome to the show.
We hope you're enjoying it. We hope you're signing up on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who already has. Saif owes the Patreon a mix. I already made a mix.
Okay.
All right. So you're up. And we're about to start laying in heavy on the Patreon because we really appreciate everyone who's supporting the show. The reason I played that, Saif, is this week, my girlfriend Natalie and I hit a year of dating.
Really?
A year.
I did not know it's been that long.
Yep. We met. I slid into the DMs a year ago.
Ooh.
The reason I played that song just now, yeah. Blueprint 2 off of Blueprint 2, was that the second night her and I ever FaceTimed, like late on a Friday night, the week we started talking, we were playing music for each other over the phone, and she played Blueprint 2.
This is, and I'm not supposed to say this. This is not an acceptable term nowadays, but that is very gay.
Okay. What do you mean? Laying on the phone together?
Playing music to each other? What is this? Are you 19?
We did. We were playing each other music, and she rapped every bar on Blueprint 2.
Oh, that?
And I
and then you made her your girl?
Yo, do you know how hard the second verse is of Blueprint 2?
Listen, the moment you rap a lyric to me, I'm hanging up on you. You're gross to me.
Oh, you're not into that?
No! As a girlfriend? Yuck! Yuck! You're done. You're done.
You want her to go, well, I this one's okay, but I just like the fun ones that I hear in the club my girlfriends.
Yo.
I told you. I already told you my girlfriend is like dating Big Noid. Although, considering how queen she is, the level of disrespect on verse 2 of this song for Nas.
Yeah.
Yo, it's the most. Do you know that this song is the most disrespectful to Nas of any of his songs?
I don't even remember this song. I don't even know it.
I think it started as a freestyle, and then he made it a song on the album. I think the only reason it's not talked about enough, because I don't like Blueprint 2, as you know, particularly, is the song's fire. The only problem is that that era of Jay-Z, when he did silly things like "I got my mojo back, baby, oh behave,"
yeah,
that just doesn't age that well.
Doesn't age well. But that album is listen, dope. There's joints on that album. I don't care what people listen, say.
Listen to this. Hold on. Get in return is a lot of lip. And y'all body should know. Ain't I supposed to be absorbed myself? Every time it's a tragedy, I'm the first one to help. They call me this misogynist, but they don't call me the dude that take his dollars to give gifts at the project. These dudes, it's all politics, depositing checks they put in their pocket. All you get in return is a lot of lip. And y'all body shit caught up in the hype. Cause a nigga wear goofy, it don't mean any bright. Cause you don't understand him, it don't mean any nice. Just mean you don't understand on the bullshit that he write. Is it Uchi Wally Wally or is it one mic? Is it black girl lost or shorty owe you for ice? I've been real all my life, they confuse it with conceit. Since I will not lose, they try to help him cheat. But I will not lose for even in defeat. There's a valuable lesson learned, so it evens up for me. When the grass is cut, the snakes will show. I gotta thank the little homie Nas for that though. Saving me the hassle of speaking to half of these assholes. And I'ma let karma catch up to Jazzo. Whoa, I'm back for you, had a chance to miss me. My mama can't save you this time, niggas, it's history. Who you know, flow vicious as me. You're so religiously, that's why they call me ho. I get the smalls cause the victim is me, nigga. You're an actor, you're not who you depicted to be. You're street dreaming, all y'all niggas living through me. I gave you life when niggas was forgetting you MC. I'm a legend. You should take a picture with me. You should be happy to be in my presence. I should charge you a fee. I'm big dog, Glenn Rob. Listen, God, you a flea. And the little homie jungle is a garden to me. What's the problem, B? You're not as hard as me. Nigga, hard as we. Nigga, R-O-C, nigga. That's why they follow me. They feel my pain and my agony, nigga. I won't rest till you on one knee. You want more than this war's gonna be, nigga. Until you want one knee, you want more than this war is gonna be, nigga. H-O-V-A. Yo.
I remember that now. I remember that
now. Oh, now you remember it. Yo, is it Black Girl Lost or You Owe Me Some Ice? He comes at Jungle. He comes at Jazzo. I have to assume that's a bar about Jazzo when he says, my mom's not gonna save you now. Yo.
Yeah.
I was so taken aback by like, damn, how'd I miss this song? Like, I really never, and I'm sure there are people.
Nobody gave
right
that album credit. That's why.
But
she can rap that. She can rap that.
Oh yeah, word for word.
I would leave her now.
You would get away immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
Here's the thing. Jay-Z and Nas dropped another record together this week.
Is that something with Khaled?
The Khaled joint.
Uh huh.
Let me see.
Is it good?
If I can. Is it good?
That Jay-Z sample is like, it's like in a commercial nowadays.
Which one?
There's like that. I forget.
Oh, really?
It's like a whiskey commercial or a.
Oh. No, it's the Modelo.
Modelo. Yeah. No, is it Modelo?
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. It's the Modelo commercial. Excuse me. It's Modelo.
Oh, okay.
So here's the question I have for you.
Yes.
Have you ever liked in history when Jay-Z and Nas do a record together?
Yes, Black Republicans. Black Republicans is one of my favorite songs. This is one of my favorite songs.
Really?
Yeah. I love this song.
See, I just think this song is cool.
No, I love this song.
Let's go. Turn the music up in the headphones. Yeah, that's perfect.
You gotta skip. It's a very long intro.
It's still going?
Yeah, it's very long.
It's been 50 seconds.
Yeah, it's long. It's a long intro. They couldn't get it together. They were scared to rap together. Huddling over the oven, we was like brothers then. What? Though you was nothing other than the son of my mother's friend. We had governing, who would have thought the love would end? Like ice cold album, all good things. Never thought we'd sing the same song that all hoods sing. Thought it was all wood grain, all good brain. We wouldn't bicker like the other fools, talk good
came. Never imagine all the disaster that one could bring, should bring.
I don't know. I like it. I don't love it.
I don't know. I love it.
I don't love the beat. I think I might like this better.
No. Now I give a fuck less. What do I mean by success? It sucks. Too much stress. No.
Okay, but the fact that neither of us agree speaks to the point that I'm trying to make.
Yes.
I think it's hard for them to get on a record and have it like there's something there that's hard. Like, it's cool that they do it. It just never quite goes all the way there for me. Like, it's overthought. So Khaled gets Jay-Z and Nas on this. And the second I heard the preview for it, I was like, oh, this is going to be the same thing again. It's too, I was like, it's going to be so big.
Yeah.
The video's fire, though. I will say that. There's a video out already, and the video's dope. Khaled, Nas, and Hov at a casino in tuxedos. It's a cool video. Again, 49 seconds we're at. No rap. Here we go. Only kings stand near me. Silicon Valley money mixed with Henny, that's a Fendi. Half a century almost. Slice the green like a lawnmower. Till we all on, never fall off. Hear a boss talk. You don't hear me, that's your loss. Winner in life. Fuck a coin toss, I'm Coinbase. Basically, cryptocurrency, Scarface. Join us, there's gotta be more. Cryptocurrency, Scarface. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool. It's cool. I just find them to be so hard. It's always like a great idea to get them on a record. I, for some reason, find the execution to be very, very hard.
The power of DJ Khaled is getting it done.
Correct.
That's what his gift in life is. He gets these things done. Do I 100% love the outcome? Not all the time. That actually sounds good to me. But like, it's very impressive of how he does it.
Well, I mean, that you're right. The most impressive thing, you know, the way Khaled just gets things done.
Is this? I'm sitting on a very nice white chair.
Okay.
And I would feel horrible for the person who's letting me stay at their place out here in Austin, Texas, if I got blood all over this chair.
What? Excuse me? Why would that happen?
Well, I feel like slitting my wrists.
Because Khaled has...
Just the amount of people who can get stuff done.
Baby, Cardi, Her, Migos, Post Malone, The Baby, Megan, Bieber, 21, Roddy Ricch, Baby Again, Drake, Big Sean, Ross, Jay-Z, Nas, Timberlake, Bryson Tiller, Meek Mill, Her again. Hey, Her, you're now like a, I think, Oscar winning or Emmy winning or Grammy or all of them winning artist. Can you be on two songs? Like, one's cool. Do a second one. Two Drake songs. It's Buju. His last song, Syfe, is featuring Buju, Capleton, and Bounty. He went to Jamaica for that.
I saw that. I saw that on the Instagram.
It is very impressive. When was the last time you saw Khaled?
I don't remember. In L.A. somewhere.
You just ran into him?
We were at this event, that Weed Aid charity thing I used to do.
Oh, yeah. What was that? That's 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, maybe like 2 years ago.
Was it a good encounter?
Amazing. Amazing.
So do you, in the end, do you feel that the awkward conversation at Hot 97 was valuable in any way?
No.
It didn't help?
No.
Was there any follow-up after that?
The conversation with me and Khaled yelling at each other?
Yeah.
What do you mean follow-up?
Like, did you guys ever talk post that
conversation? Yes, 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 yes.
You did, and so then, and do you think that helped?
What do you mean helped? Helped what?
Helped your comfort with the relationship.
I don't have a problem with the relationship. I never had a problem with the relationship.
Well, you're a liar, as Khaled said. Didn't you? Isn't that what the point of the whole thing was?
He was saying I was a liar. But I know I wasn't lying. So
no, that's not what I'm saying you're lying about. I'm saying you're lying because at that point you did have a problem. That's what the whole thing was.
What's the thing? It blew up because it was on camera.
God, if it was in more than it was.
I would have had the same conversation in private, but then it wouldn't be the thing that. Why are we talking about this? The thing that messed up.
It's interesting.
The thing that what I realized afterwards is the thing that messed up in that particular. If you haven't seen this, Google Cypher Sounds DJ Khaled yelling at each other Hot 97. It's hilarious to me.
It is
the
very
thing
fun.
That messed it up. What I realized is that because it was in front of a camera, he had to act a certain way because he couldn't get punked by somebody, anybody. That day it happened right. to be me. But in general, he couldn't.
You're not going
to
play Khaled.
You're not going to. Right. And I made the mistake of. I didn't make a mistake. I emotionally reacted in the moment, not thinking of the camera. Not, I didn't care about the camera. It's different, like when we did that and how it is nowadays, where we know there's cameras everywhere all the time. You know, we were shooting it, but it was like, oh, I'm not thinking of the cameras. It's
right.
Me and him were having an argument. You know,
right? Because you were a radio guy.
Yeah.
When you say not getting punked on camera, would that be like when I interviewed Nicki Minaj and she just looked at me and said, "I never found you funny. I never found you smart. I only found you annoying."
That's it. That's it. Yeah. See, you allowed yourself to get punked on camera.
But this is hold on. This is too far though.
Funny. I never found you entertaining. I never found you smart. I just found you annoying.
And I was just like, okay.
I just did an interview. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I was just like, I need to make this right. So no problem.
I just did an interview recently with this girl. Her name is Clarissa. She has a podcast out here in Austin.
Does she explain it all?
She explains it all, yes.
Okay.
And I told the Nicki Minaj story and I called Nicki Minaj a on her podcast. And
oh my
God. I felt.
Are you sure you want to say this? Or are you going to make us edit this out after?
No, it's fine. It's fine. This is one ep. Whatever. One ep is.
Okay. So what happened?
No, I called her on the podcast and I told the story of how she dissed me when I went to go talk to her to try to fix the whole situation. And she fucking did that shit where she counted down before I left the room. Remember, I told you that before.
Oh my gosh.
I told that story and I was like, why am I telling this story? And then I was also like, why not tell it? Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean?
It's a funny story.
I shouldn't have called her. That's not nice.
Is that the part you want to make amends for?
What?
Saying that.
Calling her a cunt.
Right. Well, you keep saying.
On that podcast?
Right.
Make amends?
Yeah, that's the term I use for it. Do you want to make amends?
No, I don't want to make amends. I just. I don't know. I'll tell the story. She was being a cunt. But I shouldn't call her a cunt. That's not right.
No, I don't even think you can say that now.
Why? Well, I spelled it on that podcast.
Oh, you spelled, yeah, okay, spelled it. Got it. I'm glad that here, though, you chose not to.
Well, this is one of. Who gives a fuck?
So, Cypher, we're going to have J Period on the show today.
Okay.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Dope DJ.
But I want to check in. He's a great DJ, you know, producer, et cetera, et cetera. I want to check in with you. What's happening in Austin, Texas? How are you?
What do you mean?
How are you? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean?
I'm fine. Why are you asking like you think something's wrong?
No.
Is it because I said I wanted to slip my wrists?
Yeah, I don't know. Billy June, have you gotten a sense over text over the last couple of weeks that Sipes like hasn't had as upbeat a tone as he did in like the weeks prior? What do you think, Billy June?
He just hasn't been answering as much until we make a decision and everything.
Oh, you want to talk about that? Okay, let's talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you want the inside scoop of Juan Epp? I'll give you the inside scoop.
First of all, no, the answer to everyone, no.
Billy June sends us artwork for the episode, sends us the description, sends us different things. I go, hey, I like this, Billy June. Oh, this is good. Good job. And then an hour later, Rosenberg goes, I hate this. This is stupid. You suck. Kill yourself, Billy June.
This week you decided not to even text for the 6 hours and just wait.
I don't jump in anymore because no matter what I say, Rosenberg's going to disagree.
He's not wrong all the way there.
Can I give my perspective? Of
sure.
Go ahead. Give us your perspective.
I'm not a mind reader, so I'm just hoping that you like the first one. So I make the first one. You then don't like it. And then I say, what do you want? Then it takes 3 hours.
Oh, so.
Then I make it. Fair. And then you go, actually, I don't like this. Can we go to something completely different? And then it's almost 11 o'clock at night and I'm ready to blow my brains out.
That's, you know what?
Wait, what was last week's? What was the one you had last week?
It was.
The one up is life, but you had.
It was clouds. It was smoke clouds. Then it was you guys in aviators.
I didn't even see that. No, what was the first? It was like, was it a marquee or something?
Yeah.
It was like a marquee.
No,
and
no,
it was like.
It was like Wheel of Fortune.
It was Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune. It was.
What the fuck was that?
It was Wheel of Fortune. And on the Wheel of Fortune board, it said one up is life. But what is the connection? What's the connotation of one up is life being on Wheel of Fortune? That's
well, Sife, if you read Billy Jr.'s email, you would have seen it was Pat Sajak's birthday.
Like, that's the thing, Billy Jr. Like, what connected that to, like, one up is life. Like, I'm thinking, okay, just spitballing, childbirth or some kind of celebration. Or if I think of
life. He sent a flower growing one.
I didn't see the flower growing. But what was the Wheel of Fortune one? Because Rosenberg makes the decision on this stuff.
I don't know if that's true, but I am more annoying than you. I am more critical. And it's not Billy's. Listen, anyone out there who happens to be a huge Juan Epp head who is like, hey, I don't really have money for Patreon, but I want to support you guys. I make good digital art. Reach out to Billy June because Billy June does a great job. But with all due respect, Billy June, you're not a professional digital artist. Yeah. Would you say that's true?
No, but also if I have to be a mind reader for you, why would somebody, it's even harder for somebody else who hasn't heard the podcast yet. Be a mind reader.
Yeah, but if you tell them the theme and they're naturally good at doing that, they're likely to have a better, easier result than you if their shit is dope in general.
I guess.
Like, you already have your hands full editing this every week and trying to pull the video together. By the way, people keep asking for the full video. What are we doing? Why are we not putting out full video?
No. Every week, ladies and gentlemen, this is way too inside baseball. Every week we go, hey, we're going to do the podcast Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Me and Billy jump on at 10 a.m. Rosenberg texts us. I need 15 minutes. Me and Billy June talk about stuff with Juan Epp. And every week we go, we wish we could put out the videos, but Rosenberg says no.
I don't say no to full video. I am late, but I don't say no to full video.
You 100% said no all the time in the beginning when we're like, we got to put this on YouTube. And you're like, no.
Hold on. This is unfair. That was only at the beginning when I thought we were saying stuff that I didn't want to have on YouTube.
So you're saying now we can put up the videos.
Yeah, I'm good with full video.
Well, I'm going to start dressing better then. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, we will have to dress slightly better, but I'm good with us putting up full videos. I mean, we'll say if there's a specific part, but then, you know, Billy June's going to tell us what's really hard to edit the audio for the videos and blah, blah. I mean, there is going to be shit
sucks.
Yeah, no, it is not great. We might want to use StreamYard instead of Zoom or something that's a little better.
Let me ask you a question, Peter.
The internet connection doesn't, like, make the video great.
Shut up. Other people do it. Other people do it. Shut up, Billy. Let me ask you a question, Peter Rosenberg. Like shit. Peter, looking like shit is better than what we have now, which is looking like zero. Are you ready? Are you ready?
You ready?
For maybe in-person one eps.
Well, hold on. I'm going to tell you Are you ready? Now. Are you ready?
Double vaxxed.
Okay.
Double vaxxed.
Is everyone listen?
I'm also double vaxxed.
Hold on. Real quick.
Yo, Herb, take it from the top. 1, 2. My mic sound nice. Check 1. My mic sound nice.
Here's the question of the day.
My mic sound nice. Check 3. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
So I am in the process right now of building a proper high-level video studio in this room.
Well, well, well.
Would you be willing to come here?
100%.
Knock on my door. Saturday morning, 10 a.m. with a bagel and coffee in hand. Knock, knock, knock.
Question.
And I have a couch right here for you to sit on.
Yes, I'm 100% willing to do that. Two questions. One, how's the parking over there?
On Saturday, you'd be fine.
Two, what if I'm out of town?
Then we do what we've been doing.
Okay. But if I'm in town.
I'm not. When you're in town.
Pull up.
I'm getting.
You're telling me pull up.
I'm telling you my beautiful girlfriend has connected me with people. I'm working on a situation in which I'm going to outfit this room with the fire cameras. Uh-huh. I'm going to have a switcher so I can switch the shots live.
My God.
And we can cut back and forth between angles.
Oh, my days.
And we can have a full, proper, either 4K or 1080 HD video, baby. Mm-hmm, that's what I'm saying. Now, listen. So that means, though, some weeks will look good and some weeks will look like shit.
And here's the thing. Is there any way to maybe do this on a weekday once in a while? That's hard for
See,
you.
See, now you're...
That's hard for
now
you.
Now you're... It would take. It would start taking. It would. We're now taking the fun
out. Do you prep for your sports show? What do you prep? You just talk shit about sports.
It's not the prep. It's that there. The two times to do it would be between my shows.
Yeah.
Or after my
show. Between your shows sounds great for me.
If we do it between the shows, I will be a wreck, because this show actually takes more out of me than the other shows because I talk more. Like, I don't talk that much
right,
on my other
shows. Right, you're just a bitch boy on your other shows. You're just a low-level bitch boy. You're Ebro's bitch, and you're Don Greco's bitch, or whatever that guy's name is.
By the way, great story, by the way. Tell me how you think this made me feel. A year ago when I went back to WWE,
yeah,
it was my first day back. It was right before the pandemic shut down the world, like 3 days before. And I walk in. And I see a guy who some of our listeners will be very familiar with if they watch wrestling, and you guys probably won't know. And that's Paul Heyman.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Paul Heyman's a super famous manager. He's always basically a heel. He's an incredible talker. He's a shit talking lunatic. We'll get him on the podcast sometime. You'd find him entertaining, but he's a maniac. I walk in, Seif. It's my first day back. I'm so happy to have returned. I'm about to get a haircut. And Paul Heyman walks by with like three other important people right behind him. And when he sees me, he makes eye contact. And as he's walking by, goes, "Hey, look, it's Ebro's bitch," in front of 20 people. How do you think that made me feel on my first day back? I really had to do some deep inner sanctum work to get there.
Was he joking?
I don't mind it. He was joking, but when you say it without laughing in front of 20 people, I mean, I don't know. Was he joking?
I mean, do you know him like that? Do you joke around with him a lot like that?
Well, if we joke around that way, it's one way. Like, I couldn't call him a bitch.
Right.
That wouldn't work. Especially at that point when he was... writing, at that point he was writing SmackDown, I think.
Right, and you was, and it was your first
so
day back.
He was right under Vince McMahon at that point.
Right.
So even now, it would be very weird for me to aggressively talk shit to him, though I probably could get away with it. But at that point, it would have been, if I had been like, "Hey, go fuck yourself" in front of everyone, right, it would have been my last day back. I didn't have that option. So
I love it.
In being called a bitch, I had to then act like a bitch.
It's all in the timing.
By the way, my girl hit me the second she said, she texted me, she's in the other room, and she said, "Are you inviting Seif over? I'll make us a feast." So to answer your question in short,
okay,
it would be much, if we're going to do episodes where we do it that way, I think it would be way better on the weekend. And we could maybe even knock out two or three and chill.
Here's the deal. Like, people listening to this, Why are they involved in our meeting about WANEP? Why are we having a meeting about WANEP on WANEP? Let's get to J Period, man.
You want to? Okay, we probably talked enough business right now. Let's bring on J Period.
So hold on, you're a fan of WANEP. and you go to explain this show to somebody, hey, you got to check out this show. It's so great. Cypher Styles and Rosenberg, they both used to be on Hot 97. They had a morning show. They had the first hip-hop podcast ever. It's historic. It's monumental. What was this episode about? Well, they were wondering if they should go to Rosenberg's house to do it in person.
You're right. And then Rosenberg told a story that basically sounded like this. Just me and a bitch. Me and a bitch.
This is all right. Let's bring on this is Rosenberg. Enough is enough. This is Rosenberg's song that you say in the mirror every morning.
Right. It's about only. Well, sometimes it's about. No. Ebro sings it about me, and Michael K sings it about me. They both wake up and sing this. All right. I was going to say, I can't call him a friend of the show because we haven't had him on the... Have we had you on the show?
I've never been on the show.
So he's just a friend of ours, but this is his first time being a friend of the show.
Yes. I love the show, so I also love to become a friend of the show.
Well, thank you, man.
You love the old show.
I mean, I love you guys. This is the new show. You know, that's what it is.
Because here's the problem I'm seeing, Peter Rosenberg.
What's that?
I saw my friend Jay Period at a Dave Chappelle event. And he goes, when are you guys bringing Juan Epp back?
No, that's not what I said. I said, when are you? When can I get on the show?
Oh, Scythe, those are two very different things.
Yeah. No, I knew you guys had it already.
Yeah, come on,
it's
Scythe.
It's called Juan Epstein is Dead now, yeah?
Yes, Juan Epp is dead. Well, Juan no, Epp is dead.
Actually,
not
it's called
anymore.
Juan Epp is Life.
It's now called Juan Epp is Life. We flipped it again.
There you
we,
go.
We brought it back, and then every rapper died every week. So we're tired of this dead shit.
Yeah, for real. So this is the tribute to DMX is that it's about life now.
Yeah. After DMX, Rob. Shock G, and Black Rob, it was like, nah, we got to call
G
it.
Shock G hit me right here, man. Like that.
All our favorites are dying, and Tekashi 6ix9ine is still roaming the earth.
All right, J Period, real quick, for people who don't know J Period, J Period is a DJ. He's a producer. He's like an executive producer, a collaborator.
A renaissance man, if you will.
A master, truly a master of finding the perfect lane for himself for his entire career, which allowed him to stay right in the zone of music that he loves about without ever having to compromise.
Yeah.
And somehow has managed to do like amazing branded things, amazing unbranded things, like
correct.
Jay, let's start at the beginning. What was your original? Because I don't remember the answer to this if we've discussed it. What was your original foray into the hip hop game?
I mean, first before I start, I just gotta say thank you for that introduction because I know how much you guys know music, so that means a lot to me for you to say that. But you know, my first foray into music in general, I couldn't trace because it was literally everywhere. You know, when I was a kid, my father was a folk musician and a teacher, excuse me, and a great storyteller, you know, in his own right. And music was just everywhere, you know. So there was a song for every occasion and every situation. And I think it got embedded in me that way. And then, you know, the moment I discovered music was sort of the birth of hip hop. And you know, I saw Beat Street and it was a rap. Pretty much from there on, you know, I was fascinated and it just, everything about it spoke to me.
You ever notice the difference between people who grow up with music in the house and people who don't?
You know, when I do my interviews for the mixtapes, the very first question I ask is always what music was playing in the house as a kid.
Yeah.
And I feel like the artists who sort of go back in their mind to a very specific memory, the conversation always opens up into a whole thing. And a lot of cases, what's interesting is like people with older siblings that listen to music, like Q-Tip talked about his older sister introduced him. I feel like I've heard that story a bunch of times. You know, my older sister also had really good taste in music, you know, Police and Red Hot Chili Peppers and Led Zeppelin. And you know, I got that side of it. So I just had a well-rounded musical upbringing. And then hip hop was like this, you know, umbrella where I could pull all those things into it. So it was perfect.
But it sounds like, J Period, that you're one of the few people in hip hop, not I don't know how many exist, but I'm sure some who also, like me, grew up with this probably in their home. Here we go. Ready?
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone.
Woo! That James Taylor right there, Sight, the way that hits.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like, something magical about that. You know, I was just in the car, you know, for 8 hours driving back from Yellow Springs for the however manyth time this month. And I put on Paul Simon, and I was just driving down the highway listening to Graceland.
Graceland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen. Graceland is maybe my most listened to album.
That's the road trip record right there.
Yeah, really? It's a really regular. That's such a regular.
I don't think I've ever listened to it straight through.
Really?
Graceland's the one?
Graceland's the one. And the funny thing is, man, how different our musical backgrounds are. And no one understands more than Sife how much, like, I'm limited in the way that my music taste started because of what I listened to in the house. And I don't say that to, like, diss my parents, but, like, they just really didn't, considering they were really cool and, like, hippie-ish and progressive, they just did not listen to black music like that. Like, barely at all. But Sife, when I used to hear this joint as a kid, this right here changed my life. and the Paul Simon album, so this is so funny. I brought up Paul Simon recently at work. And, I mean, Laura Stiles barely knew who he was.
Wow.
Like, I mean,
Barely knew who he was.
Like, I think when I played, You Can Call Me Al, she was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. But
and
like,
in fairness, my least favorite of all the records is that one. But
yeah, it probably fits the least, honestly, in the album. Like so many hit singles, it kind of fits the least.
Right. It's like the popular one of the songs.
But it is interesting just because if you grew up in like a family where a lot of music that generally white people were listening to in that era, but were generally like somewhat cool people, like you heard Paul Simon all the time as a kid. And for a lot of other people who I've known in my life, their only introduction to him was from You Can Call Me Al or Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard. That's basically, or Sound of Silence, maybe.
Right. Well, in fairness, my introduction to jazz is flipping over Tribe Called Quest records.
Of course.
So, you know, like there are certain things that I only discovered through hip hop. And then there's other things I think I've discovered have a similarity to hip hop. You know, one of the things I as I've been telling, you know, my story through the course of putting this record out, I used to transcribe the lyrics of like My Philosophy and, you know, the second verse of Beat Street Breakdown and show them to my dad, like, look, you know, like how important this is, like what's being said here and the poetry of it. And that was just sort of another thing where certain parts of it were unfamiliar. But, you know, I also had friends, so I had opportunities to, you know, be in Watts and, you know, like in the park, break dancing. And like, you know, there was exposure in other ways, but.
Where exactly were you growing up?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in California, Los Angeles. So, you know.
You did?
Yep.
Yo, that is so funny. You're so Brooklyn in my mind that I didn't even realize that. Sife, you didn't know either, did you?
I did not know you were a West Coast guy.
Yeah, I was on the West Coast. I mean, I obviously grew up in L.A. I went to school in the Bay Area, and I came to New York in 99 because, again, it was like hip-hop was my native language even though I wasn't from here. But, you know, like I wanted to be closer to that world, and that's what brought me here. So I already felt like I spoke the language through the music, essentially. Yeah. And you know, and like so much of New York culture is buried in hip hop lyrics. So, you know, there was something about it. Again, it's like I saw Beat Street and I was like, what is this world and how can I become a part of it?
Yeah. Looking at Beat Street, but growing up in California, in LA, in the LA area has to look insane.
Crazy.
Insane. Because even now, LA kind of still looks the same in a way. You know what I mean? Like the layout is the same.
Yeah.
But like looking at and you're looking at the Bronx, in the 80s, it's like, what the fuck is happening over there?
Right. That's America?
Right. Well, yeah. And also, you know, the music. It was like there's, you know, it's funny to say this and put it together, but there's the stories and there's what you see in the world of that. And then there's this music that's just so incredible. And that combination is, you know, maybe the reason why I do what I do, sort of combining stories and music, because it's like, there's a world in there. If you don't know, if you've never seen Burned Out Bronx and you see Beat Street and the graffiti, this beautiful art amidst this destruction and then the music, like, that's a crazy combination right there.
Man.
So what was the rap record, like full album, that you associate most with your upbringing?
Man, look at you with your questions today.
What's funny is
I'm a pro, man.
You're a pro.
What rap record I most associate with my upbringing? I probably have to put it to, like, can I choose five, or it was like I got to do one?
No, choose five. That's fine. It's one up.
I'd say probably on. You know, Midnight Marauders and Low End Theory can fight for one of those spots. Mm-hmm.
So this
Pete Rock and CL Smooth, Mecca and the Soul Brother.
Oh, oof.
Five is so difficult. You know, I'm from the West Coast, so Ice Cube, Death Certificate was another one.
What do I have on Death Certificate? Why'd you do that? What was the lead single off Death Certificate?
The lead single was Steady Mobbin', maybe?
That sounds right, which is arguably my favorite Ice Cube song ever made.
Wow. Really? Steady Mobbin'?
I know it's not like the right thing to say. It should be something off America's Most Wanted.
No, whatever. Death Certificate album is fire, but
My Summer Vacation is probably my favorite. Yeah, this beat is crazy.
It's just maybe, it's such a feel-good Ice Cube record.
Yeah. I gotta go back.
You know, and another thing there is Ice Cube is like the life side, the death side. Like, it's like a story to that album. Trying to get our hands on some dollars and cents. And blues came
home. Every chance we get, we're hitting up the hole. I'm gonna listen to that today.
Enough short of the green guy. Man, come on. Like,
And I might start slanging bean pies.
Oh, the bootleg t-shirt of the month.
So we have the two tribes, the Mecca and the Soul Brother, the Ice Cube.
Yeah, I got my last two. I'm gonna honestly, and not just because of recent circumstances, but really, really, really instrumental in my upbringing is Digital Underground Sex Packets.
Mm. Really?
Like, oh my God, that record changed my life.
Really?
Yeah, it really, really changed my life when I heard it. And again, it's like all the seeds of what I do are
there
are
is
in
a
there.
Lot of that's an interesting comparison, because there's a lot of stuff going on in that album.
There's a lot
and
of
when
stuff
I listen when I listen to your mixtapes, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, he's a man who likes things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Well, I think there's layers to it. You know, it's like he's telling multiple stories at once, which I appreciate. Like, that's a sign of, like, an advanced understanding of something. And Shock G is definitely an advanced specimen, you know, like making up characters and playing the piano, like just all the things, you know.
It's so funny too, because I love, so I've been I'm a big Shock G fan, and I as I told the podcast right after he passed, I had been trying to get him on the show over like the course of the last year. I'd hit him up a couple times just because I think he's brilliant and a mystery, and I've always appreciated the levels to the things that he did. But I don't think I ever sat and listened to Sex Packets through and through until he passed.
Oh, really? No, I used to listen to that album. It's good.
I mean, yeah, I never, maybe at the beginning, and I like flipped through it, but like a couple weeks ago, I sat in the car and let it play. I don't think I'd ever done that experience. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. And I think that's like, you know, benefit to my West Coast upbringing is that Sex Packets made its way to me, you know, at a young age. And some of it was beyond me, obviously, because I was still a kid. But just the complexity of it, the fact that Shock G drew those cartoons. I mean, you heard the story I told about that Rakim.
No, tell us, because I bet our listeners didn't. I saw it and it was blown away. But tell us the story.
So one of the things that I noticed when I was a kid was on the inside of Digital Underground albums and even some of the single covers, these cartoons that had a similar style. It turns out Shock G, you know, is the MC, is the guy who drew those cartoons. So,
because he does everything.
He does because he literally
plays
does
two
everything.
Characters, produces the music, and draws the art.
Right. And pulls the best samples and, you know, just all of the layers that are in that album. And shout to DJ Fuse also for so many of those layers in terms of the samples and the cuts and all that stuff. But basically, 9 years ago, I get an invitation to Rakim's house. We're going to go. I'm going with his manager up there, and we're going to go to talk about a Rakim J Period mixtape, you know, which later manifests as the live mixtape, which is, you know, equally amazing. But what happens is I get there and I go into his home studio, and on the wall is this drawing, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, dang, I know that style. And I step closer, and it's signed by Shock G. And so the drawing is Rakim on a cement block. He's kind of just like leaning back like this. And under the cement block are all the other MCs getting squashed. And it says the master poet across the top. So I saw this and I was like, yo, like, do you know who drew that? And he's like, oh yeah, that's those guys. And I was like, what's the story behind that? And he tells me the story that in 89, he's doing a show in Oakland. And there's this guy who's waiting backstage and wants to give him this thing. And he gives him this drawing. And Rakim opens it up and he's blown away by this drawing. Takes it home and puts it up on his studio wall. 3 months later, Do What You Like comes out and Digital Underground blows up. So Rakim sees them again. And there's a part of this story I didn't tell in the thread.
Perfect.
Which is a key part of the story. So basically, Rakim then, you know, sees who they are, goes to get all of them to sign it at another show they do together, including Tupac. Rakim takes this back with him. And if you guys ever see the picture that I took on the wall, which is, on this Twitter thread, there's a hole in the poster. So what happens is Rakim sent this to a framing, or he had, his man, it was unclear, but somebody took it to get framed. And when it came back, the Tupac part was torn out. Somebody had stolen the Tupac autograph.
What?
Off of the poster. So someone out there has this Tupac autograph out of a torn out part of the poster that Shock G drew for Rakim, like levels. So essentially, wow. What I said is,
by the way, talk about a framing shop I'm not going back to again.
Right. So, you know, what happens in the moment is I'm like, yo, does he know that you have this on his wall? And he's like, nah, I never really told him. So I was like, is it okay with you if I tell him? And he's like, yeah, of course. So I called DJ Fuse and I'm like, yo, is there any way you could get Shock G on the line right now? And he tries to get Shock G. Shock G is not available at that moment.
Sounds right.
So what ends up happening is they call me right as we're leaving and I talk to Shock G and Fuse and I tell Shock the story of how Rakim still has it. And I think Shock might have heard it in an interview as well, but he just was blown away by the fact.
How long ago was this?
This is in 2012 that this happened. So the moral to the story is that, you know, I sort of was trying to explain to people how important Shock G is to the culture and specifically to me. And so I told it in the sense of, like, you know, the greatest MC of all time, the one who everyone is inspired by. Who does he look to for inspiration? He put Shock G on his wall.
Wow.
For inspiration. And I just thought that was the illest testament.
I thought you were saying the moral of the story is be those weirdos that hand you paintings and pictures at shows.
Well,
that's a great point, those guys
are always so fun.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I have a couple here that have been, you know, drawn. I think it's amazing. Like, you know, the thought that someone would even do that and spend the time and give me that is really ill to me.
The drawing ones are kind of weird.
Yeah, when someone hands you a really good,
if they're good,
yeah, like,
but sometimes they're like, "This is what you think I look like, lady."
Well, I mean, first of all, that's an amazing story and perfect. And I actually feel like that the last time I interviewed Rakim, he told the story in like, but this, I think so. In like, this is, we're talking like 2017, 18. I'm pretty sure he talked about having that picture.
Now, you might have been the interview that they were.
But now, but the time doesn't add up because that was so much before.
Oh, you're right.
So I think he got.
But also, when did he take it to get framed? Because,
well, that's after Pac passes, so that's got to be, you know.
But that's what I'm saying, because because if he took it to get framed when he got it signed, Tupac was nobody back then.
It might have been some gap of time between when he got it from him and when he got it signed.
So it was on. It was just taped to his wall, and then finally he was like, we should get that framed.
I mean, honestly, all I know is that by the time I got there, it was already in a frame. I don't know that was the first frame it was in.
Maybe it was another frame.
Again, it's like a gilded gold. Like, it looks
right, you know, right. What I'm saying? Yeah. He could have framed it kind of bootleg the first time. That's a phenomenal story. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and dope, and it is, and the people who draw stuff, Yo, Syph and I used to get these jail letters, and there's this one cat who sends jail letters to the station.
Yeah.
And I got to look around and see if I have any. If I don't, I'm a douchebag, because this dude would do the art on the envelope.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
Yo, Syph, the envelopes would look so crazy. Like it
would... I would always get nervous about opening those jail letters, because they sometimes ask for very crazy shit. But I did appreciate that somebody was writing us and drawing on the envelope.
I'm talking about like really, I remember the one photo, Syph, of both of us that he drew across the letter. It was like really impressive stuff. Now, J. Perry, first of all, when's your album out?
Wait, that's only four albums.
No, it was? You have one more?
He said Tribe, Pete Rock.
Oh, you're right.
Ice Cube, Sex Packets.
Again, it's so hard for me to choose. I think probably Illmatic and Ready to Die would duke it out for the last spot, but I would have a hard time choosing. You know, before I probably wouldn't have rated digital above either Ready to Die or Illmatic, but, you know, in light of recent events, you know.
No, it can affect us that way.
Yeah, for sure.
So your album came out yesterday.
Yes, it came out yesterday. It's chapter one of my album. Thank you.
How many chapters are there?
There are three chapters on this, you know, album, but there are future chapters that are already in the works. So this, I think, is a great format for me, just from a storytelling standpoint, and allows me kind of, you know, one of the things I think that I was up against in doing an album at all is that I'm, you know, really all about creating these long form experiences, but listening habits are much more short form.
Especially nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it came down to like, first I got to have the records, and a big part of this process was, you know, individually, like knowing those records are strong records on their own without any story. And then creating enough of those that I could start to, you know, pull together a story in the way that I imagined. But, you know, it's been 5 years in the making, 5 years in the making, trying to create this album. And so, yeah, it's a momentous occasion for sure. And only the beginning also, because I got a lot in store for chapters two and three, which are already done. It's not like I'm just promising them, like they're done. They're just getting finalized. And then it's going to be coming out over the next few months.
Can you give us a little insight into what the story is that you're telling throughout the album?
Well, you know, to be honest, it's not one singular story. I think, you know, I'm kind of telling a story about stories. It's sort of like different ways of approaching storytelling. Chapter one approaches it in a very kind of linear, you know, Bobbito. We start at a basketball game with Jamel Hill, you know, as the courtside reporter. And that's based on a true story of you know, a series of games that Masego and I played at Jazzy Jeff's house. And then Bobbito walks away from the game, which takes place at Rocksteady Park, which is sort of instrumental in my story, because Rocksteady embraced me, you know, when I first came to New York. And then, you know, walks out of that into New York, into a bodega, hears a salsa record, which again has a sort of backstory. And that flips into, you know, Gran Combo with Lin-Manuel and Joel Ortiz. So that one really flows in that kind of way. And then from there, you know, at the end of chapter one, I'm given a little teaser of chapter two. And we know we're going into a jazz club. So when we open up chapter two, we're going to be in a jazz club. But then it might flip completely and go to a whole other, you know, sort of format. So that's kind of the way I'm approaching it. I wanted to have the freedom to really be creative and tell these stories, but also, you know, just be aware of how things work these days. So, you know, we're delivering them in these kind of like 12 to 15 minute long chapters that are experiences in themselves, but also when it all adds up, you know, hopefully we'll be a body of work that stands on its own. So that's the plan.
This is going to sound like a dumb question. This sounds very interesting. I'm very excited to listen to this. What is the secret to getting people to do shit for you, like getting on an album?
Yeah,
we struggle with this. We struggle with it.
You know.
Yeah, this is very impressive.
I mean, I'll say two things. So
and I don't think people understand how hard it is.
No, you know, I think that's true. I think that, you know, sometimes it's just patience. You know, sometimes it's believing in what you're doing so much that other people, you know, it becomes contagious.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's an important part. But then again, it's also sort of the seeds I've been planting for years and years In some ways, it feels like this is the culmination of all of that stuff. And I'm finding that it's coming together in these crazy ways. So the timing of my meeting Dave Chappelle is a story of me sort of going to meet Jarobi, and Jarobi happens to be going to see Dave Chappelle. And when I meet Dave, it is the night before the Hamilton mixtape is declared, you know, Billboard number one.
Wow.
And so Jarobi introduces me to Dave with that. And Dave is like, wait a second, J period. And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh shit, you did my favorite Q-Tip mixtape. And I was like, well, damn. Like, so, you know, like he heard about the Q-Tip mixtape first. And so I think all these seeds I've been planting for years have led to this. It's not like it happened overnight. It's been very organic. And, you know, like I take people at their word. You know, when I asked Dave Chappelle to do this and he said, yeah, I was like, all right, we're going to do it.
That's the main one I'm very impressed by, because I know Dave Chappelle, forever.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do jack shit for me. You know what I'm saying?
But do you ever ask is the question.
Oh, I ask.
I mean, you do ask. Aren't you opening up on every show he's doing? I feel like you're always around, and he definitely, you know, it gives you props like that I've heard. So I think, you know, that's probably... Yeah, you should do that.
Well, I'm being greedy. I want other things too.
I mean, listen, I think for me, I had a vision in my mind of what it could be, and you know, when I pitched it to him, he was like, you know, he liked the idea, but there was other ideas in circulation. So he and I have been talking about a couple of things, including the project that he's launching, you know, very soon.
Yeah,
and so it, you know, again, it's sort of just unfolded in this crazy way where the timing of these things aligned and made it possible. And you know, I wouldn't have been able maybe to do it without the pandemic. You know, it took him being stationary and me having a place to physically go. Listen, a lot of stuff that happens with the Roots is because the Roots are at Fallon. I would just roll up and you know, check in with guys. And, and it's very top of mind. You know, like, you know, those guys have a lot going on.
But they're there, so you can do it.
Yeah, and you know, that's just about me being in the mix. You know, I think it's... it's a lot of that. A lot of these relationships, as you know, both of you, because it's been the way with us, is just very organic. Like, you know, Peter came to New York sort of with, you know, dreams that I would say he's far exceeded. And, you know, it was J period. You know, can you come and rock with me on this Noisemakers series? And, you know, we've kind of met through that. And, you know, Syph, I saw you in the circles DJ wise for years and
forever,
years. So, you know, a lot of it is just that. And, you know,
years ago.
And the last part of it is, you know, you got to put it down. Like, you know, the work has to speak for itself. So, you know, I would give people mixtapes wherever I go. If the mixtape isn't hot, there's no reason you're going to remember that.
Right.
But if it is, the next time I see you, it's like, oh, J period. Oh, yeah. What's going on? And I think
that's the difference. Thank you so much for doing this and explaining all this. And congratulations. Yeah. That's the difference between you and what me and Rosenberg do, because especially on radio, the thing that we're giving you is in the moment, and then we give you another thing tomorrow and another thing tomorrow, but it's gone. When you hand someone an actual mixtape, I still have all your mixtapes in my CD collection.
Word up.
We never had anything that was like able to go back to in a way. You know what I mean?
Well, and people might check in one day and then be like, I love your show, but they don't check in for another 7 months.
Yeah.
Like that's a legitimate thing that happens too.
I'm sorry, I'm turning this into a complaint.
No, like, this isn't a self-help program for you.
Here's the thing. I think this is true. What you guys give now is a platform, right? You know, like you have an audience, so people are going to want to come when they have something to share. You know, like the
No, I, listen.
No, but the platform that you guys have is fantastic.
I'm 100% proud of what we have. I'm proud of Juan Epp and even Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg's show. I'm just saying we never had the thing to give.
Oh, yeah.
We should have did a Juan Epp.
I mean, why don't we do a Juan Epp mixtape? Come on.
No, mixtapes are dead. We want to do like a Juan Epp. What's the new thing? What could we do?
NFT? You want to do a Juan Epp NFT?
Yeah, let's do a Juan Epp NFT. Or let's do a Juan Epp drill album.
Yo, Saif, if you want to do a 1UP NFT, you need to find a way to finalize the Lost De La Soul episode it an NFT.
Oh, we figured out. Do you know the thing of the Lost De La Soul episode?
I don't. Tell me.
We recorded De La Soul for our podcast early in the day.
I feel so bad for our audience listening right now. Real quick. You're telling us the fucking story of the Real Lost quick. De La Soul?
We think we figured it out.
Tell me the bridge story.
We had a De La Soul episode that was fucking amazing. And then when we went to upload it, it wasn't on the CD.
Oh, no.
And so we lost it. It's been a thing. We've since interviewed them after and blah, blah, blah. And 1UP is dead. 1UP is dead is a tribute to De La Soul is dead because we didn't have the episode, blah, blah, blah. But
I love that.
I was cleaning out my basement and I found the disc that says 1UP De La Soul Part 1. And I realized that I don't think the CD was finalized. So we think the interview is still on the disc, but we have to find the machine to finalize it.
Oh, my God.
Which is an adventure in and of itself.
That is an adventure. I have a story like that.
Yeah, what's your lost thing story? Oh, my God.
Mine is tragedy, but it ends in triumph. And that is that, you know, when I had done the Lauryn Hill mixtape, that became, you know, the blueprint, like I was saying. So I got a call from Ashley Fox, I'll shout out, who was Mary J. Blige's brand manager, who said, you know, I want to do this for Mary. And I was like, yes, let's do it. So, you know, there's this whole saga that begins with me going out to LA to the Be Without You video set. And, you know, I go in there thinking Mary has already said she wants to do this. And when I get there,
she has no idea.
When I get there, now the funny part of this is Ashley is my manager now. So like this story, this is how it begins. But Ashley's like, so there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is I didn't tell Mary about the idea. The good news is she's right in there, go in and pitch it to her. So I was like, wow, okay. And I went in and I pitched it to her and she loved the idea and we ended up doing the Mary mixtape. So the first opportunity I get to record my interview with Mary, she's at the Mandarin Chinese Hotel in what is it, Columbus Circle?
I think it's Mandarin Oriental.
Thank you.
Wow.
My apologies. Mandarin Oriental Hotel.
That's so crazy. I was just talking to my girl about the Mandarin Oriental literally as we were about to start the show. Anyways, keep going.
So I go in. I'm with my man, Tamir Z. Brown. And, you know, we go up to the room, knock on the door. Kendu answers and lets us in. And Mary comes out in a house coat, house shoes with rollers in her hair. Like she's like chilling. Yeah. And this is the benefit of doing my interviews audio only, is like people could just be cool and comfortable in that way. But so what proceeds to happen is the most mind-blowing interview I've ever done in my life.
Really?
Because Mary's just like literally on the couch, like leaning on a pillow, just telling stories.
Right.
Including the story of her like driving in the Jeep. I later had her retell the story, but the first time she told it, it was incredible. Driving in the Jeep in Yonkers with the open air, listening to Soul to Soul, Back to Life, and how that was like planted in her mind. So when Clue asked her to do that joint, that's why she wanted to do that record. That was like instrumental in her upbringing. So we get all these incredible stories, you know, Say Goodbye, Roll Out. And all of this was being done on a mini disc recorder.
Love mini disc recorders. Mm-hmm. So, Saif knows I'm one of the biggest mini disc guys in the business today.
So it's tremendous, tremendous. Stacks.
Suffice it to say, this is the last time I ever used a mini disc recorder, because we get out and what turns out have happened is that none of it was recorded. Like the entire interview was lost.
And how dare you fucking blame mini disc? That was you, Jay, period.
Were there levels? Did you see the levels?
I wasn't manning the recorder. So
it's so easy. It's one of the best. The reason I love mini disc is I feel like it's I almost never had a fuck up with one. They're so good.
This is the only time. And honestly, I that mini disc got thrown against a wall and was gone forever. And I never went back to it, but it took me a year to get another interview with Mary J. Blige. I had to fly to LA, go to like the Beverly Hills Hotel. It was like,
there's nothing worse than having to have to tell them
and try to recreate it. It doesn't, it's never the same.
So what ended up happening was I remembered the stories, you know, for.
So you could feed her.
No. Well, yes. What I ended up doing was that it was less about answering questions like I normally do the interview and more like, okay, in this part, I want you to tell the story of this.
And right. So it was almost like it was a pre-interview and then you allowed her to just do what she needed to do.
Yeah, exactly. But it took me a year to get that
now
back.
That's what? So, man. Yo, yeah. It took us 5 years to get to De La again after. It's crazy, man. How those things happen.
Yeah.
The J Period album, the first part of it, Stories to Tell, is Story to Tell.
Story to Tell.
Story or Stories?
Yeah, Story to
Story to Tell, Chapter 1, yes. Streaming everywhere right now. Dave Chappelle, Black Thought, Bobbito Garcia's on there, Crazy Legs, yep. Lin-Manuel Miranda, yep. Joel Ortiz, Mad People, Garth Trinidad. Shouts to Garth Trinidad. A lot of people on this project.
Yes.
We hope the WANEP crowd will go out and give you a nice full stream.
Word up.
Or 100.
Word up. I appreciate it. Yeah, honestly, like, this is just the beginning. So I think Chapter 1 is a glimpse of what is to come. But I'm excited for how this whole year is going to unfold around Story to Tell and keep it going. So
now, I don't mean to show you up, but, like, did any of the artists on your project talk about almost beating the shit out of you on a song?
Did someone talk about almost beating the shit out of you on a song?
You know, I'm glad you asked that.
It's funny you ask.
It's so funny you bring that up. Listen to this. Sife, here you go. Last week I played you the ad-libs. Here's the mix of it now.
Mania. Max Rosenberg, about our very first encounter. He was talking slick shit, that could have been his worst encounter. I was fresh out the kitchen, I was still weighing working counters. Trip of the world for the work and I take it to the out of towners. When Ghost was up in Harlem, showing ice cream for the butter pecans.
I remember that.
I was up in Harlem, getting rid of them butter C grams. They catch a body for 10, catch 2 for an extra 3 grand. By the power of Grayskull, the dust had him feeling like He-Man. When Barkley was at the line, shooting the foul shots with a black eye. I was really up in housing, supplying the fiends with a crack high. There's 5,000 ways that you could break down a crack pot. Niggas even duck or get struck by these bullets when the Mac fly. Yeah, we that fly. Diplomats, I'm back by my gang. You get attacked by boy when he out of act.
What is this? What are we listening to?
That is my record featuring Ghostface, Crime Apple, and Jim Jones.
Oh, snap.
And Jones dropped a classic story of me and Sife of when the first time. Sife, do you remember what we were talking about when Jones wanted to kick the shit out of me?
Oh, yes, I remember.
It was the MTV Top 10 MC list.
Wow.
And I had just gotten to New York and was like,
He just got there.
I mean, it was a Saturday morning. So we were brand new.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Jim Jones, top MC.
Uh-oh.
My backpack says here's, no, sir.
Right. Here's what Rosenberg doesn't understand. We had a show at, I don't know, 5 a.m. or whatever it was.
On Saturdays.
You know, they were prepping us to do the morning show a year later, whatever. And we have a 5 a.m. show. He thinks no one's listening. Rappers left
like
the club.
It's in the hot water with this a lot.
Late rappers leave the club, go to the diner, and they're driving home 5-6 a.m. It's perfect prime time rap listening time.
For sure.
Prime time. Every time Jay-Z has ever called us on the show or texted us was like 6 a.m. like him going to the Clearport, you know what I mean? So he's like, Jim Jones, he's not a ring hotline just starts ringing. But you can't really hear the ad lib where he says "ass Sife."
No, I didn't end up. I didn't use
gotta,
the ad lib.
What? That up in the mix.
How do you take out that my ad lib?
Because the way what all the verses start, it's silence leading up to when they come in, and it just like is too much to give away before he raps.
Well, send it to me.
Of course I will.
Jesus Christ!
No, it lives on. It's on one app.
It's fine.
So this is for a project that you're working on right now.
Yeah, I don't want to take your interview time about my album. It comes out May 21st.
Word up. I love it. Listen, honestly, I think one of the things that is most amazing to me is all the cats that sort of started around the time that I started or, you know, Cypher or when you got into the game that have moved into different kind of levels and positions and just created new opportunities. And a lot of cats, you know, like, I know you get into hot water and so forth, but, like, you have, like, a real love of hip-hop. And I feel like you're always, from the time I met you, you know, trying to forward the culture. And I think Syfe, same could be said of you. So it's dope to me to have cats like that in positions like that now. And, you know, what's exciting is that now all of those folks, like Dave Chappelle himself, is a hip hop head.
He sure is.
Bro, like, that's what I bond with him about. It's like his knowledge of hip hop is like
all day.
Oh, okay.
All day.
Listen,
all
day. We'll complain about this another day. We wanted him on One Ep for so long because it would make the most sense in the world. We already had a Low Chance. Mm-hmm. Now he has a podcast with Mos Def and Quali.
Yep.
He's never coming on One Ep. Never.
All right. Yeah, I got, listen.
Syfe sat in. Did you sit in on his joint at some point?
Yeah, I sat in on two of them. I think I got edited out all of them. The engineer told me there's one line I had that made it.
You know what? I'll tell you later why that's not true. But we can't speak on that quite yet.
Not yet. The secrecy around this project. Oh, it's like a plan to invade Russia.
We're bound in blood, Rosenberg.
Oh my God.
I had to cut my hand.
But you know what? I think also that's a testament to the respect level that everybody has for Dave, and he's a visionary, like straight up and down.
Yeah.
So like, you know, what I see him trying to do, I'm perpetually impressed at the level of thinking and just how comprehensive he is. Like, that's to me what the jewel is. Is like, you know, no lie, like every one of these guys, Q-Tip, you know, Busta, any of these guys I get to spend any time around, I'm just in awe of how advanced they are in their minds. Like, they're just incredibly smart, creative, brilliant guys. And I just try to soak as much of that up. So, you know, that's how I've been spending my time in Yellow Springs, is just soaking up as much game as possible.
Gems.
Yeah, really. Gems of all kinds. Mm. Like, not just related to what you would expect. But
Yeah. That's true. Well, listen, bro. I'm done with this white boy cultural appropriation of hip hop. Okay. Congratulations to both of you and your albums.
I represent for the Jews, not for the white boys, but that's okay.
Hey, listen, J. Period, we appreciate you.
Oh, is the J Jew? The J Period? Is that Jew?
It's Jew Period.
No Syfe sounds. That is not.
I never realized that. Jew Period.
Oh, Lord. I should have known better than to spend too much time on with you guys. It's going to get raucous.
Oh, please. If you think just mentioning Jews, when I start getting deeply anti-Semitic, that's when we get to the good stuff.
Oh, man. Count me out for that part.
Hey, listen, good luck. Congratulations. And I know you have a million more stories, so we'll have you back another time to tell more of them.
I got to come on and share some of the jewels for sure. And I appreciate you guys having me. Definitely check out Story to Tell Chapter 1. It's out right now. Chapters 2 and 3 coming very soon. And actually, one last person I got to shout out is the one and only Jazzy Jeff. Maybe next time I come back, I'll talk about the Playlist Retreat and kind of the role of that in sort of really sparking everything around this album. So many artists on there are from the Playlist Retreat. Tiffany.
And you can help us solidify getting Jeff on the podcast. I've talked to him about it.
Or an invite to the Playlist Retreat.
Well, the Playlist Retreat is not happening now for obvious reasons, but I definitely can connect you with Jeff on that because that guy's got stories for days.
What,
yeah.
Bro?
Days,
he, we're, I'm days. Connected to him. I just need him to say yes. To come on we just the need show. To. I mean, I think he's down to do it. I think it's just like pushing. But maybe if you're like, hey, I went on. It was great. You can do it from your studio sitting at home. It's super easy. Anyways, yo, good luck, yo. Appreciate you.
Congrats, man.
Thank you, guys. Yes. Talk to you
there
soon.
There he is. J Period, ladies and gentlemen, Story to Tell Volume 1. It's out right now. You can get it everywhere you stream music. I mean, Syfe can't get through one interview without turning it into some sort of self-help. Well, why? How did you do it? Why not me?
I like to get information on how to do things better.
And by the way, he does. I mean, we didn't even scratch the surface on how much shit he's pulled off over the years.
Yeah.
Like, he has a personality. He's like really good at connecting people and blending in. He's not like a big, bold personality. He's like a quiet, cool.
We were at the secret Dave Chappelle show in New York a couple weeks ago, and he was there. And I see him in Yellow Springs a couple times. And then he goes, hey, what's up with One Up? He's like, I got a project. I would love to talk about it on there with you guys. I said, yeah, sure. He goes, yeah, because I got Dave on there. And the hatred that started bubbling up inside of me. I was like, how the fuck did you get Dave on your album.
What's the thing you would have most wanted Dave to do for you? Want Is it this?
Want it.
Yeah.
Want it.
Like 2 hours want at it. His house.
Want it. Absolutely. All
and by the way.
Want it. That's it. That's all I want. That's all I want.
And by the way, I know their podcast is going to be great. It's not the same as it would have been him sitting with us. It's just not the same.
It's nothing. The podcast is not even what you think. It's nothing like this. It's some different shit. The only reason why it's called a podcast is because that's how it's like the new format that we release projects like this. It's not even a podcast.
Oh, so you're saying it doesn't really prohibit him from doing this.
No, it's not I'm like going to hopefully this will be the thing for him to do one up to talk about that. That's my goal.
Now, you said that you've pitched him on doing a lot of things before, but have you really?
Nah.
Like, I feel like you haven't.
Nah. Really.
Like, I wonder if you were to say, because sometimes this is, let's just finish this Tony Robbins shit.
Okay.
Sometimes isn't the move to be like, yo, can I talk to you for a second? Yo, what's up? Yo, man, I'm super grateful for everything I do for you, blah, 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 blah. The one thing that would really mean the most is if I could get Rosenberg to come out here and we could sit with you one day, one of these days, anytime during a weekend, you tell us when that you're just willing to sit down, smoke a fucking pack of cigarettes, and talk to us for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That would mean the world.
That's the thing. Sorry, there's two things I've always asked him for. In retrospect, I had that exact same talk with him about being on the road with him and doing comedy. And so I can't say he hasn't given me anything.
Of course not. He's given you lots.
Yeah, but fuck that.
You can ask again.
Yeah, we got that already. That's done.
So you can do one more.
Yeah, one more thing.
He loves to give.
Oh, he's a giver.
And if my experience with him when he did Hot 97 a few years ago is any indicator, like, he enjoyed when him and I were able to just shoot the shit on hip hop, he was super into it.
The problem is never the content. The problem is getting him to sit down and do it. I guarantee he will fucking love it when he does it. He loves talking hip hop. That's all he does.
If we did it just like this, where I had the computer up and anything we talked about, we started playing a song and just talk.
I'll tell you a secret. Come on. A secret. Me and him are kind of, well, we said we were going to work on this project. When I tell you the level of how it's based in hip hop.
It's so very deep. Listen, guys, we will be back again next week. We appreciate you. You already know how to subscribe because you did. I hope you'll tell a friend. I hope everyone listening will tell a friend next week because we're hearing the slow build of people telling people. So you got to keep that up. If you're one of the people listening who hasn't shared it, please share it because we're doing this shit with no end in sight. So tell a friend and tell a friend. And next week, God willing, another week with no icons lost. We'll have a fun episode of One App. I'm working on some good, like, throwback groups that people have not heard from in a very long time to come on the show. So there's a lot of fun stuff on the way. Sife, to you and Billy, I want to say go fuck yourself.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.